Essay, Part 2. As we gathered instruments and supplies, Elizabeth, the transplantation coordinator, came to brief us on the patient, a 45-year-old woman named Lynn who had brain death following a stroke. Her briefing was just that, brief, before she returned to the family. When the transplantation team was ready, Elizabeth came to let us know. Ruth, the anesthesiologist, and I followed her to Lynn's room in the ICU. Family and friends surrounded her bed, visibly shaken, mourning the death that was to come. Some were crying, others were hugging, and one elderly woman sat quietly in the corner. I was unsure about what would happen next. Would the family leave before we wheeled Lynn to the operating room? Would they follow, as other families did? How could I walk over to the bed, unlock the wheels, and push the patient to the operating room as I had done so many times before? This time, there would be no return. I could not reassure Lynn's family that we would take excellent care of her. Elizabeth introduced me to Lynn's sister. Instead of shaking her hand, I touched her arm. The three of us walked toward Lynn's bed, and Elizabeth told me of the family's request that Lynn not be left alone at any time. Her sister handed me a neatly folded pile of clothing, underwear, plain dark slacks, and a long-sleeved striped t-shirt, and asked that I dress Lynn after we were done. That's all they wanted. Lynn's family stayed behind as we wheeled her out of the ICU. In the operating room, I fell into my usual routine, tending to the patient, keeping things in order, assisting the anesthesiologist, documenting. These were all tasks I had done many times before. As each procedure was completed, the team grew smaller. Within 2 hours, Lynn's liver had been removed, the sutures were in place, life support had been withdrawn, the medical team had gone, and Ruth had left to clean the instruments. I was suddenly alone with Lynn. How little I knew of this woman! But there were tasks still to be done. I needed towels, warm water, and soap. I set out to retrieve them. At the door, I stopped and looked back. Lynn's body was exposed, alone in the big, empty room. I remembered her family's request. Returning to her bedside, I covered Lynn with a blanket, sat down on a stool beside her, and waited for Ruth. Ruth returned about 5 minutes later. Noticing that the body and the room remained unchanged, she looked surprised. "I was waiting for you," I said. "We can't leave her alone." She smiled. Together we cleansed and dressed Lynn, then brought her to the morgue. Outside the operating suite, Lynn's sister was standing in the hallway. She was alone. Without a word, she looked me in the eyes. I gave her a nod. She returned my nod, turned, and walked away.